Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, this is it. Brady's done. You know, the Pats are done.
They're not good anymore.
Oh, yeah? Okay, cool. Going back to the Super Bowl. Yeah.
He wants to win by 100.
Dale Arnold.
Well, I think you got to understand.
Are they this close?
No, you overstated. Yeah, no, I didn't overstate it. I said when you're
this close.
You got to understand.
Rich Key.
I can maybe be Tuesdays. Shimed as like a karaoke
can
Tuesdays.
Can I apologize ahead of time?
Here's his hair. You remind me of what I really am.
Finish the song, Shime.
Dale and Keith. Middays.
He appears to be a turd.
You guys, I've been listening to you for 2 days. You are a scream.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
However, the 2 days before that,
no.
We suck.
That's fine.
Today's going to be the best show. We're good.
Dale, those shows are in the past. Today is going to be the best show.
There's nothing we can do about those.
That's right. Forget those shows. Great. Horrible. Whatever, somewhere in the middle. I don't know.
More today, Shime doing Nickelback karaoke.
I'm telling you, karaoke Tuesday is a thing. I'm looking forward to next Tuesday. Yes.
Oh,
you know what?
No.
Go ahead and put in your request right now. If you want Shime to sing a song at 1:54 on next Tuesday, put in those requests at Dale Keefe WEEI.
Haworth, break it.
The guy's got honey in his voice. He'll sing anything. So that's next Tuesday.
So, on this, one of the Conrad Thompson podcasts that I listen to with Tony Schiavone, they've got a thing now where they make Schiavone read rap lyrics. Now, it's a podcast. So it's like the worst possible lyrics ever.
I feel like Glenn would be good at that.
I feel like Glenn
I'm wondering,
but does when he get to the...
Wait a minute.
There's a famous word that, you know, a lot of rappers like to use.
Because then there's the old, whoa, is it a song? No. Doesn't matter.
Or does he just go N-word?
What does he say there?
Well,
does he say that?
I haven't heard the N... Look, I've heard every other word you could possibly
say.
That's
fine. And every other word is fine. That word, you kind of leave out. You got to self-edit that one.
You know, it's like, all a dream. I'm about you the word, word up magazine. All my N words.
Never mind.
Step back from the vehicle. Yeah. Well, it's something, you know, maybe we'll do this in the future. We'll have Shime reads rap lyrics, and we'll see how far he can get into it before he blushes himself to death.
No, I think we just have him sing.
Dramatic readings, I'm really good at.
Is that right, too?
I'm better at that than karaoke.
He really is the Swiss Army knife of WEEI.
Dramatic readings.
Yeah, just dramatic readings. That's what we're going to do.
I used to compete in poetry slams sometimes.
Poetry slams?
Wow, that's like rap.
Yeah, when I was in like middle school.
That's like rapping, though.
It is.
Yeah, well, when you talk about poetry slams.
I feel like a lot of rappers probably got their start doing a little slam poetry.
No, it's big at the, at the, you know, HBCUs, you know.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, the poetry slam.
All right. That's good to know, Dale.
I'm just writing down on my notebook.
We're learning all kinds of stuff
today. Right now. Yeah. It's Wiggy Wednesday. Hi, Wig.
Yeah. What's up?
How you doing?
Good. I'm waiting on Antonio Brown. Is that what we're waiting on?
Well, it's funny. Here, right? There was a piece last night written by Daniel Wallach. He's one of these sports legal experts, similar to Mike McCann, other guys who've kind of made a niche for themselves.
Yeah.
McCann is the top of the tree for me, but Wallach's really good. And he wrote a piece. The headline is, "Will this be the week that Antonio Brown is placed on the commissioner's exempt list?" He thinks that's a real possibility. Now, you pointed out, Ian Rappaport tweeted out moments ago.
He just tweeted out, "There is no update on the status of Antonio Brown, I'm told, which means he's still eligible at this point to play on Sunday." He adds, "The league often likes to have the status of players clear on Wednesday before the biggest practice day."
Yeah, but wasn't there reports when, like, after the investigation when they interviewed Brittany Taylor that I forget who might have said it. It was on one of the ESPNs or something like that, where they said that it would be several weeks before they knew anything, right?
Well, and Wallach actually talks about this in the piece. She reportedly, and there have been multiple reports now confirming, Anna Cabrera was first, I'll give her credit, from CNN. She said that Brittany Taylor had testified, or not testified, that's the wrong word, had given 10 hours of talking to the NFL. It's not testimony if you're
like
not
a,
under...
Just like a session, basically.
Right. 10 hours, you're not under oath,
right.
But she spent 10 hours talking to the NFL. And what Wallach said is, and I said this yesterday, she was probably credible. You sat there and listened to it, and you said, okay, she doesn't sound unreasonable. She doesn't sound like a whack job.
So
my guess is a lot of the 10 hours was going through every text message and every voicemail, and then this is what he left for me, and this is what I said.
Is this fair? And maybe it's not, but if they sat down for 10 hours and she had new stuff, if she had more emails, she had more texts, maybe some voice messages, who knows, maybe even video, you never know.
You don't know.
If she had all that stuff and it was really bad, do you think we have nothing on Antonio Brown right now? Don't you think if they met on Monday and there was something really damning for him, don't you think he's on the list right now?
Yeah, and I was on NBC Sports last night with Tom Curran.
Yeah.
He brought up that exact point.
Okay.
He goes, if there was something new that was so damning,
I feel like he'd be on it.
The decision would have been, there would have been something that was said right there. They wouldn't allow him to continue to keep moving.
Because she could have been really credible, but if she can't prove some of the things, now it's like, it's still the he said, she said.
The point Wallach makes in the piece that he wrote yesterday is it doesn't even really matter as much what she told the NFL over the course of the 10 hours. It is that this now satisfies the component of the investigation has begun. They won't put anybody on the commissioner's exempt list until they've begun the investigation. According to Wallach, that's now happened. They spent 10 hours with her. Now, here's the secondary part of this. I don't know when they're going to talk to Antonio Brown.
Right.
You'd like to think it would be sooner rather than later. I don't know when it's going to be.
It should have been yesterday. Right.
They can't make any decision until they talk to him.
They can put him on the exempt list. Absolutely they can.
Right, but then that looks like the NFLPA is not going to allow that. How are you going
to
put...
Because that goes back to the slippery slope argument.
How are you going
to... The NFLPA is going to have a hard time fighting it since they agreed to the commissioner's exempt list.
Well, no, I understand that, but what it sets a bad precedent. How are you going to put him on the exempt list when you haven't even talked to him? So if you only got one side of the story, and now you're making a decision to say, we need to put this guy on the exempt list, NFL commissioner exempt list.
Because then what? You talk to him, and then you
take him off?
And then you take him off. He's on there for a day?
And you haven't had him on there yet? So it's like, and then you got to talk to Marquise Brown if he's the...
You would think?
If he's the third person.
And look, that, to me, that gets more into the whole, he's suspended, which is without pay. That's different. The commissioner's exempt list is, we're still paying you.
But you can't play.
But
you're not playing full, you're not paying him his full salary.
You're taking money away from him.
Tough. They're going to say tough. We're paying
you. But the PA's not going to allow that to happen,
Fight it, Wig.
Well, they can file a grievance.
Sure they can. They've lost every one.
Well, I mean,
But I don't think they have enough to even put him on it. Like, nothing has really changed unless Brittany Taylor had new stuff.
Began the investigation. That's enough for the commissioner.
Okay.
The commissioner then says, hey, look, we've begun an investigation. Till we clear this up, we're going to put you on the exempt list. You're going to get your pay. But now, look, I don't know if that's going to happen or not. Wallach seems to think it could happen this week.
It could, but isn't that the same argument as before? We're talking about putting him on yes, there's an investigation, but there's an investigation into a civil lawsuit versus a criminal lawsuit. I don't think that's a precedent they want to start.
And I would ask him, when's the last time that they did that with a player? They didn't do that with Tyreek Hill. They didn't say, let's put him on the commission exempt list.
It is trickier, I think, in season, because Tyreek Hill didn't play any games until they were able to figure it out. Had that popped up week 6, maybe it is a different story with him. I don't know.
But what wasn't the Zeke Elliott situation, wasn't that in season as well?
I thought he missed the first 6 games of the year.
Okay,
I'm not sure.
But I think
I'm quoting, though, from Wallach. The personal conduct policy expressly contemplates that a player may be placed on the exempt list during the early phases of a league investigation.
Right.
Specifically, the personal conduct policy states that where a crime of violence is suspected, that's all, suspected.
Yeah.
But further investigation is required. The commissioner may place the player on the exempt list on a limited and temporary basis in order to permit the league to conduct an investigation.
But didn't they say, even before they talked to Brittany Taylor, didn't they say, we have begun an investigation?
So they didn't until they talked to her. There was no real investigation.
So that's the only thing they did? I thought they said that the investigation is underway last week, and then he's still playing the game on Sunday. So if that's the only little detail they're waiting for in order to put him on the exempt list, they could have done this prior
to today.
And
there's really, when you say investigation, I think that's kind of a little bit of an overstatement, because I don't think there's really an investigation. I think what it
they spent 10 hours talking to her about something.
But I think that's more of like they're trying to get answer questions, because there's no
that's what an investigation
right
is.
But I'm thinking there's no criminal charges, so there's no police report, there's no we can go here, so we can further.
And by the way, they have no power to subpoena anybody,
right?
They have no power to put anybody under oath. Brittany Taylor has every she could easily sit there and tell lie after lie after lie, and there's nothing that could be done about it.
So when I say the investigate, all their real investigation is really talk to Brittany Taylor, talk to Antonio Brown, and if it was Marquise Brown, talk to him. Because there's no we can't go,
they can also look at the text messages, listen to the voicemails.
But there's no police report.
So last Friday, Friday the 13th, mm-hmm. Adam Schefter wrote, "At this point, the NFL will not place Antonio Brown on commissioner exempt list as there is no criminal investigation making him eligible to play on Sunday. NFL has opened its investigation, which will include interviews with Brown and his accuser." So not limited to interviews. So the investigation began last Friday. So if they wanted to place him on the exempt list, they could have last Friday.
Except they didn't have enough at that point.
I'm not saying the investigation part of it.
This should happen. My point is, I know. Wallach said they spent 10 hours talking to Brittany Taylor for a reason. This didn't last an hour. Thanks very much. Right. We'll see you later.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, if they wanted to, by the letter of the law, have an open investigation in order to put him on there. So on, let's say, the 12th, when they didn't have an investigation, he wasn't going to be on the list. But starting on that Friday, and maybe it was even sooner, that's just when Schefter reported it, but starting on that Friday, they could do it, and
because
the players
could because do their investigation was on the way.
Right, so they could do it, but Wallach they chose also, not to.
He brings up this question, and I'm just going to ask you flat out.
Mm-hmm.
When Antonio Brown talks to the NFL, whether it's here, my guess is they'll come here.
Right.
In the same way they went to Brittany Taylor, they'll come here. They'll get in a conference room somewhere. They'll sit in a room with Antonio Brown. How do you think he'll handle it?
I think he'll answer any questions that he's asked.
I think he'll be combative. I think he'll be antagonistic.
But he said the exact opposite of
what he needs to be.
I don't know that, because he said that initially when this all came out, he said he'll sit down with the NFL, he'll sit down with whoever, and he has no problem sitting down with anybody. So I don't think he'll be combative. I think what he'll do is, he'll sit there, they'll ask him the questions, whatever that may be, and he'll go through and he'll give his side of the story, probably very similar to what Brittany Taylor did. Because what do you have to be combative about if you're Antonio Brown?
Well, I said this yesterday. I don't think he's going to be great in this setting, because
I think he's going to be horrible.
He has everything to lose. Brittany Taylor had nothing to lose. If she goes in there and the NFL says, thank you for your time, we are choosing not to punish him, she still has the civil lawsuit. The NFL is not going to pay Brittany Taylor. And the NFL also can't punish Brittany Taylor. Brittany Taylor, why not? It maybe strengthens your case going forward. If not, no big loss for her. Antonio Brown could lose his job. He could lose weeks on the field. He could lose money. He could lose all this stuff. And if they start asking him questions and they continue to ask him questions, I know he's not in court and there's not going to be a lawyer there pressing him. But if they ask him about the emails and they're reading the emails to him and they just keep asking him questions, I don't know, based on what we... you have to admit, at the very least, he's unpredictable.
Yeah, but I think that he's going into this, and I would think that his representatives have told him, listen, you're just going to this. It's not like you're on the oath, and it's not like they're going to be drilling you like you're on the witness stand. They're going to be going in there. They're going to want to hear your side of the story, so give them your
side. But if he gets any sense that they don't believe him... I could see him
getting
upset.
But how does he get that? Because when you look at this, it's not...
Could be as simple as, Antonio, she has a voicemail from you that she played for us in which you said this.
Right. Well, if she has that, then maybe you...
I'm just using that as an example.
Right. So the point is then he would have to say this is what happened with that voicemail. Here's the context of that voicemail. And he could easily say, here, listen, I have a voicemail, or I have videos of her.
So you remember that incarcerated Bob thing and we saw so if he actually has that information from that other woman, remember the woman who contacted him and says, I have a recording? If he has that, that'd probably be a good time to play.
He's in great shape.
That'd be a good time to play.
Well, he has that.
That's the other part. If he's 100% innocent, then you know what? He probably will do all right in this. If it's closer to the truth, then it could be tough for him.
And that's why I don't see him being combative, because he believes that he's 100% innocent.
Wait, have you ever never heard this guy? He's like the epitome of combative.
Well, but I think it depends on
it's his whole personality. Right,
but I also look at the situation here, and I think if I'm advising him, I'd say there's no need to be combative here. You're not on the witness stand, right? This is something that they're just going to ask you questions. Just go in there, tell your side of the story. Be honest. If there's any information that we have, videos or text messages or this, that, we can now, during this interview, we can show them and then go from there. Because it really is, Antonio, a case of he said, she said. And
well,
I think,
depending on what else Hollywood, you know, other things could play into it.
But unless somebody has
audio tapes, videotapes.
Unless somebody has something, whether it's Antonio Brown or it's Brittany Taylor, unless somebody has some type of smoking gun, which is a video.
And my guess is she didn't.
No,
because right now there's nothing new on it.
Right.
If it was so incredible, like now maybe. Maybe she swayed them slightly, or maybe it was very compelling. I wouldn't rule that out, but there's clearly nothing that makes it an open and shut case. Otherwise, we would have known about it by now.
Right. Yeah, because
you know,
she
talked about it. This is Wednesday. They talked for 10 hours on Monday.
I'll give the NFL credit. They've buttoned it down.
Yeah.
You know,
there's been no leaks.
I've seen nothing from anybody. And I should also give her credit, her side. I haven't seen any leaks that, at all, so she didn't leak anything. They haven't leaked anything.
Yeah. Right, so what's that tell you, like, especially after this 10-hour interview, it kind of lets us believe, and I think
I don't think she has a whole
lot. And I think that's the biggest thing that we need to take away from this, right, is all we know, there's no leaks, there's nothing. It was a 10-hour interview.
And it was done not in New York. Those are the only two things we know.
And all we know is afterwards, we've heard reports that it will be several weeks before we hear anything. No, that's at least what I heard. And so if there was something that damning, like Rich said, the NFL would say, we got to take this guy off the field. Because
well,
we know this is going to come out.
Wallach's point is they could do that this week. He wouldn't be a bit surprised to see it happen this week. Now, I don't know if I agree with him, by the way. I'm just giving you the premise of his piece that he wrote
last
night.
Do you believe then, if he plays this week, then do you look at it?
I think he plays the rest of the season.
If the commission is exemplary after this week.
I guess it'll depend for me on whether they've talked to him this week or not. If they haven't talked to him and he plays this week, I wouldn't necessarily say he's going to play the rest of the year, because I still think his interview with the NFL is going to be key to this whole thing.
But I don't see, I don't know under what scenario where they don't talk to him this week. Like, what are you waiting for?
Right.
Well,
you want this to go
away. It should have been yesterday.
It should 100% have been yesterday.
I mean, you know, now you're into, now we're into game prep.
Right.
Now we're into practice.
Right.
He's why don't you know what, just get back to me in February. I'll talk to you in February. Like, what are you doing? You can't just keep pushing this off, because the league also doesn't want this to be the biggest story.
Right.
The biggest stories in the NFL are all the quarterbacks are hurt, Jalen Ramsey wants to be traded, and Antonio Brown is being accused of rape. Those are the three biggest stories in the NFL. I can't imagine they're thrilled with any of them.
Right, and when you look at the ones talking about, I think they'd rather have people talking about the quarterback injuries and maybe Jalen Ramsey wanting to trade, not the whole Antonio Brown.
No, they want to be talking about, it's 100 years.
No, I understand.
Yeah, they don't want to even talk about the quarterback injuries.
No, they don't.
If you had to choose between the three, you don't
want
to
Antonio Brown last.
Yeah, they don't want to be talking about him. But see, the thing I look at is by them interviewing him, when they interview him, all it does is help his case. I don't think it hurts his case in any way.
I don't know. You have more trust in him than I would to be able to sit in that setting and not lose his mind.
It's him telling his side of the story. That's what it is.
You've seen in the history of, you know, people representing themselves, or, you know, they have to go on the stand.
He's not in there by himself. His lawyers are going to be sitting right next to him.
So those guys are going to be very important.
One of our Twitter followers points out, and this is true, last year, 2018, Marcel Darius was sued by two different women for sexual assault. He was never put on the exempt list. But here's the key point. Both suits were settled.
Okay.
And in this case, they were negotiating, reportedly, towards a settlement.
Right.
He decided, no.
I bet they weren't $2 million apiece.
Yeah, I don't know the answer, obviously. I don't know the answer. But the fact is, the suits were settled. The NFL said, okay, we're done here. I got to believe that those people you were talking about, those advisors to Antonio Brown, even if he's innocent, at some point or another have had to say, you know how much money you're going to spend in lawyers?
Yeah, but I would rather
he's already lost one commercial endorsement.
But I would rather him fight it at this point. If he didn't do it, then fight it.
Because so what's that tell you?
If you pay on the settlement, you're telling everybody you're guilty.
Well,
that's how I read it.
Well, there's not guilty, but it's
if you pay somebody $2 million to not report something,
you're thinking like, okay, why'd you pay the money then? Is a little something gone?
Yes, you want it to go away, but come on.
Well, and that's when I look at the situation, I go, okay, he was like, I'm not paying. So what does that tell me as somebody who's just like Rich said, you're sitting there and you're like, you got the money, you just signed $30 million.
I would agree with you, Wiggy, except apparently he doesn't pay anybody. Even people he should be paying, he doesn't pay.
If I paid $700, I'm not going to pay $2
million. He doesn't think he has to pay anybody.
But if he thinks, but it's not like he's not paying $700 for a picture of himself.
Right.
It's one thing to not pay, and then the next thing that comes out is you're an accused rapist. There's a difference in that, like when you're sitting there going,
Was he negotiating from April until 10 days ago? Why was there even a negotiation if all along he's saying, I didn't do anything, I'm not paying anything? Why were they negotiating?
I don't know, but he never did pay, though.
He backed away at the last
minute. I wonder if his lawyer or whoever's in his ear was saying, listen, we can just get rid of this. We can just get rid of this with some money, and maybe that's why he's thinking, all right, let's do that. But then when it comes time to write that check, he says, well, wait, I'm not doing this.
We don't know, like, initially, like, as far as the back-and-forth negotiation, it's like, okay, so she wants $2 million for what? What is she saying? And then it starts to come out that, well...
I think he knew before they started negotiating what she was claiming. It wasn't in the middle of the negotiation. He went, really?
I don't
know. You're saying that?
I don't know if it was. I think.
Oh, Wig, come on. Why would they even enter into negotiation if he doesn't know what it's for?
Maybe he owed her money because we know he doesn't pay. So maybe she was training him and he owed her money. And she was like, listen, you owe me X amount of dollars for all the times that I trained you. You're not paying me. What's going on here? And that's how they entered into this back and forth.
The problem is, reportedly, when this all happened, she asked him for a $1.6 million investment in her business venture.
Right.
He's known all along what she's alleging. This isn't a surprise to him.
I'm kind of like a little hesitant to think. I think she then came out and said, well, if you don't want to pay me, then this is what I'm saying.
Well, according to the reports, that's exactly how it came down. They gave him a 10 p.m. deadline to sign the agreement. If you don't sign it, we're going to file the lawsuit the next day. He said no, they filed the lawsuit.
And then he knows in that lawsuit, the allegations are that,
Oh, he's known that for a long time.
Yeah. But if he's saying he's not paying it, then I think Rich makes a great point. And that tells me, a little piece of me, it tells a small, in my mind, that he feels, he knows, he's innocent, he can prove his innocence, and I'm not paying.
Well, we'll find out soon.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll find out this week. According to, was it Ian Rappaport you said?
Yep.
Said that he does not think, at this point, that he'll be on the exempt list for this week. And by the way, I think if they haven't talked to Antonio Brown yet, and as far as we know they have not, I think it's kind of a bad look if they did put him on the exempt list before they even got his side of the story.
I know the guy is kind of a dank, but is he that much of a moron to think if there was something and he has the money, right? He got that money from Oakland. Is he that much of a moron to go not pay her and know that all this stuff is going to come out and that's going to tarnish his name forever?
When I read all the stuff in the Klemko piece, and we talked to Robert Klemko about it yesterday, he doesn't give a damn. I don't care. I'm not paying.
But even if he knows the fact that I put
an Instagram post out with your picture on it, that's payment enough. I mean, you got sort of...
Yeah, but that's over, like, services, right? But, like, to know...
He doesn't pay anybody.
But to know that this woman is going to come out and say that I'm a rapist and you don't want this to go away... And there potentially could be something to prove what she's saying about you. I mean, if he paid her $2 million or $1 million, let's say they settle for $1 million, we never know nothing about this.
Wouldn't you say that the leak from Incarcerated Bob over the weekend, at the very least, lends some credence to her story?
The leak?
What? Yeah, the text messages, the email from him about, I did this on your back. I mean... what it doesn't do is say, well, she's full of crap. There's
nothing
here.
Yeah, but the leak also makes it seem like whoever the person AB was talking in the DMs makes it sound like she's lying.
Yeah, I mean, you can read any either story, and it sounds like, because then you hear all on Antonio Brown's side about how she wanted all this money to begin with. So you can read that, and you say, well, he didn't do anything wrong.
And then you could send this videos of him and her in the bed together, and you could go, wait a second, you know.
Oh, no, he said all along they had a consensual relationship.
Right.
But she didn't say that, I don't think.
See, I haven't heard her say, no. Right. So that, like, the email doesn't go, oh, that leads me to believe he did it because he's on a rant in an email and he's using horrible language and it's disgusting.
Which he did, and it was.
But that doesn't... An email doesn't make him, like Rich said, guilty of the accusations.
What it doesn't do, though, is lead me to think, God, she's full of crap. I mean, what, are you kidding me? When you read it, you say... All right, there's sort of something here.
But when you see her,
you read the Klemko piece, and you know that he's kind of a
loose cannon. And
yes,
when you see her in bed with him on an Instagram video,
I thought they had a consensual relationship. That doesn't mean
you believe. But what I'm saying
is, he didn't do the other thing.
But I'm saying, if you think he has a consensual relationship, then you believe
that. Well, they did at one point. Yes.
Well, where'd you get that from?
Well, I saw the video.
Well, you also got that from Antonio Brown's side. You didn't get that from her side. Right,
I understand. I saw the video, so I said, okay, they did have it.
I guess
we're just picking and choosing
what we believe. Then I guess that's what everybody's kind of left to do.
617-779-7937. We'll talk some real football today as well as we continue on. We've decided that our phraseology on this show is goosed and porked. I think that there are some teams in the NFL that are already goosed and porked. We'll run through that list with you.
About 25 of them.
That is a fair number.
I'd say it's a little bit higher than that.
We'll get to that. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe. Wiggy's in the house as well.
It's Middays with Dale and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Sounds like this is right from Shine's playlist, doesn't it?
Could be. He might sing it for you next Tuesday. You never know.
Tuesday, we'll find out. 617-779-7937. We talked about what the NFL probably doesn't want you thinking about. The following teams are 0-2 on the NFL season so far. So far, the Dolphins, Jets, Steelers, Bengals, Jaguars, Broncos, Giants, Redskins, and Panthers. They're all 0-2. Of those, what did I say? There's 9 0-2 teams. Probably 7 of the 9 are both goosed and porked already.
Well, they were before this. Before when they were 0-0, they were. Right? Right. I mean, when the season began, most of those teams were out anyway. Right. In fact, we did an exercise about how many teams.
We didn't think the Panthers were out necessarily. We didn't think the Steelers were out necessarily. Now that Ben's been hurt.
I was very down on the Steelers. Right. But overall. No, but they had Jaguars
we didn't think were done.
They did. But those quarterbacks being out. But I mean, Miami and New York never had a sniff no matter what was going on.
We thought the Dolphins and the Jets and the Giants were probably. Now I'll take that back. I didn't think the Jets were done.
Oh, really?
Well, when I thought Darnold was their quarterback, I thought,
I don't know.
I still wasn't sold on them.
No, with Crazy Eyes McGee as the head coach. Right. They had 8 wins at best.
When he's telling, some of his star players, like, yeah, I really didn't want you here.
Straight up. Yeah. It wasn't my choice to have you.
Le'Veon, yeah, I don't know.
We did an exercise. How many teams before the year began could legitimately make a case for they could win the Super Bowl? And I think it was 14 out of the 32. And we were being kind of, if it was close, we would say yes.
Right.
And so it was just under half, right? Was it 14? I want to say that.
Yeah, I heard that. I heard you guys doing that because there were a few teams.
Yeah, and you were probably like, nah, I don't know.
No, it was a few teams. I was like, I think Dallas was one of the teams I thought.
They were probably a yes.
But there were some teams that you guys said no on that.
Wait a second. But I bet now if you did the same exercise again, the list is probably like 6 teams.
So there are 9 teams that are also 2-0.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my question is, of these 9 2-0 teams, which are you not sold on? And I'm not saying Super Bowl, because I think there are only 3 or 4 of those. Here are the 9 2-0 teams. The Pats, obviously.
Yep.
The Bills.
Nope.
Ravens.
Yep. No, I'm not sold on the Ravens.
Chiefs.
The Chiefs are very good, obviously.
Cowboys.
They're good.
Cowboys, yes.
Packers.
Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that whole thing, everybody's like, oh, when's he going to fight the head coach, LaFleur, or whatever. Like, they seem fine.
Yeah, Rodgers.
They look pretty good. They might win that division. So
Rams?
Yes.
They're good.
Absolutely. 49ers?
No.
No. They've played a couple of bad teams.
Seahawks?
Yeah, Seahawks are good.
Yes, Seahawks yeah. would be a yes.
So, I mean, the Niners and the Bills would be the two teams that you say, all right, yeah, they're 2-0, but
right.
they're probably not going to make the playoffs. You know, it's a nice start for them. They've also played some bad teams. Better than you thought.
To me, it's about the quarterback at those 2-0 teams and yeah. going, okay, could this guy sustain what he's doing for 16 weeks plus postseason?
Right.
And, you know.
When you look at, like, Russell Wilson and,
yeah.
you know, Goff, it's no Dak Prescott even, who's yeah. in a contract
well, he's
year.
Got, he's got the Ezekiel Elliott. You
oh,
start
yeah.
to look
yeah.
at that. But I look at the Bills, I'm like, yeah, I'm not so. Even Baltimore.
But the Bills have a pretty good defense.
But I still go no. back to the quarterback situation.
Oh, I think in a couple of weeks, Josh Allen will not do well against the Pats defense.
And I feel the same way about Lamar Jackson. I think it's just a matter of time. Before,
oh boy,
that's Shime's guy, Lamar Jackson.
Shime thinks he's going to be the
MVP.
Yeah. Well, through 2 weeks, he might be.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's easy to throw.
It's him or Patrick Mahomes again, so well, it's either going to be me or Dale.
I'll tell you what, it's easy to throw the football to guys that are running free wide open.
They were wide open.
I mean,
they were wide open. They maybe covered a little bit more when they play the Patriots.
I could make those throws.
He also ran for 100 yards last week.
Yeah, we know he's going to run.
Yeah, he can scoot.
Yeah,
we know he can scoot.
I mean, I
which is why he's going to get hurt.
Yeah, right. I could throw the ball to some of the that make some of the passes.
Some of those guys are wide open.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to do that.
So the question here is the NFL concerned? Because at this point,
they have to be.
2 weeks into the season, you've probably got less than a handful of teams who you think have a legitimate chance to win the Super Bowl.
Well, but I feel like that's
you sell it to every city. Oh no, your team's still.
But don't you feel like that's the way in most sports? In fact, right. it actually is probably more open in football than it is right. in basketball. Or although this year will be different,
and
I think,
it's more based on the performance of those teams, right? Because when we did that, remember we did that thing here, and we said who was going to win the division, who was going to be the playoff
yeah, yeah,
teams.
Yeah, yeah.
But you think about it, you think of the 2-0 teams. But think of a team like Houston, a team like Tennessee. These were teams at the beginning of the year that you felt, hey, they could make a run. They were going right. to get into the playoffs, and then you just start to look in it. I think once
but I think looking at what they do early, like we should learn a lesson from the Patriots, because there's been years where they've been 2-2.
But that's the Patriots.
I know it's the Patriots, but they could turn around. Even the Chiefs, one of Andy Reid's first couple of years there, they started out real slow. Then they won like their last nine. Remember, they had like a crazy run to the end. Not that they went to the Super Bowl or anything, mm-hmm. but they really turned around what they are. I think the bigger issue is the NFL right now has potentially 7 or 8 backup quarterbacks starting in week 3. And if you look at the primetime games, this has been making the rounds everywhere. I think even SportsCenter is talking about it. You know, it's all over Twitter. The primetime games, the next few weeks, are a ton of Steelers without Roethlisberger, Saints without Drew Brees, a couple of the other teams.
Jets without Donald.
All these, you're like, ugh. Like, this is what we're going to have to watch going forward. That's what they can't be thrilled with.
Well, they better see if they can flex some of these games. Flexing.
Well, Sunday night football will be good probably throughout the year.
So it's the Monday and Thursday.
The Monday night games and the Thursday night games are always bad. And the Monday night games, it's a rough stretch for them, too.
Yeah.
It's not a good look for the NFL.
Well, but there's nothing they could do about the injuries. I mean,
no, but it kind of plays along with the whole thing where, look, if a quarterback gets hurt, your team's screwed.
Well, and even if your quarterback's not hurt, I mean, the Miami Dolphins we just saw this past Sunday.
Right.
That's one of the most embarrassing collection of, quote, pro players we have ever seen in the history of the league.
Yeah, they've given up.
And the Jets shouldn't be that bad, but now they're forced to go with their third-string quarterback.
Right.
Like, it's going to be the same kind of deal. Shime had that stat about the 20-point underdogs, and you got two of them here on the same weekend. You know, the Jets and the Dolphins this Sunday are both going to be underdogs by over 20 points. And that line keeps growing, by the way. I think the Patriots now are, what, 23-point favorites? Like, good Lord.
It's amazing to me that the best division is, like, just by looking at it on paper, is the NFC West. With, like, a few years ago, you'd be like,
yeah,
that's one of the worst divisions, but you got the Rams,
well,
too.
Rams and Seahawks are both good, and then, you know,
the 49ers are playing well,
yeah.
So.
Let's get to the calls with you guys at 617-779-7937. I didn't see the whole thing yet. I've seen the video because we posted it on the Dale and Keith Twitter feed. Evidently, Wiggy got into it a little bit with Tommy Curran last night. There was a little discussion going on.
Oh, yeah,
it was
a little discussion. We,
we'll bring it back today because he'll be on just after 1 o'clock today.
Yeah.
So,
him and
Tommy
I disagreed on something. Which...
How could that be?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, some of us are smart and the other ones, you know, they struggle
not so
in class.
Much. Is that true?
Yeah, that is true. It's always those kids that struggle in class, and I think Tom was one of those kids.
Oh, boy. Well, the,
well he'll be on, he'll be on just after one. We'll
shots fired.
Yeah, I guess so.
617-779-7937. Your call's coming up next, Dale and Keefe.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. Tom E. Curran joins us just after 1 o'clock. So the Patriots are 2-0. They've outscored their opposition 76-3 so far in the first two games.
Yep.
I've made the argument, there's no right or wrong answer here, but I've made the argument I'm more impressed by the Patriots' defense so far than I am the offense. Both have been awesome, obviously. But the defense has actually even impressed me more. Boston Sports Info has the stats. Patriots defense against wide receivers in the first two games this year. They've been targeted 59 times. They have 28 catches, completion percentage of 47.5%. No touchdowns, three interceptions, a quarterback rating of 40.8.
Yikes.
When targeting wide receivers.
Now, part of that is Miami receivers are so bad
right.
they can't catch a cold, but they
Pittsburgh should have been good. Better.
Pittsburgh was
well, Juju Smith.
They got one guy.
Yeah.
And they had a quarterback who, you know,
yeah, he had a bum elbow anyway, and he stinks.
Well, that's that's what he said.
Well, he's out for
after
the year now.
No, supposedly he said after the game,
well,
my elbow didn't feel that great. Maybe it had something to do with the fact that, you know, you looked awful.
I just think that, you know, for both the offense and the defense, they both look great, but it's also come against bad opponents.
Absolutely.
Miami's the worst
team
in the league.
Well, Pittsburgh's not awful, but...
They might be. They actually might be awful. We won't know for sure because they'll always have the excuse that they don't have Roethlisberger the rest of the year. But I think even
with
him...
But I think you could say that about even like, you know, Kansas City.
Wait a minute. Oh, who they beat.
Yeah, like you could say that Kansas City beat Oakland. And then I forget who they beat in week one, but I think you could look at around the league and start to say, well, you know what? Let me look at some of these opponents. And
but I'm just saying the Patriots numbers, and they're going to continue to be off the charts because they got the Jets. They
got
a lot of bad teams.
They might not give up a touchdown again this week.
Oh, Kansas City played the Jaguars in week one without Nick Foles.
Right.
Who got hurt real quick.
Yeah, exactly.
So
they don't play a real quarterback until... I guess week eight, I'm still a Baker Mayfield guy. I know he had a bad week one. Mm-hmm. He bounced back a little bit in week two. So think about that. You have to play half the season before you play a real quarterback.
Yeah.
And they've had years like this in the past where, you know, just based on the scheduling, they don't get to pick it. They've had some years where they don't play any good quarterbacks. They've had other years where they play five or six of them.
Right.
They will eventually get to Dak Prescott and Pat Mahomes and Deshaun Watson and Carson Wentz. So they will... Lamar Jackson, Shimes guy, they will play good quarterbacks at some point.
Right.
So it's not one of those arguments, oh, they're not going to be tested for the playoffs. Just looking at the schedule, they're not going to be tested at all, at least through 7 weeks of the
And those
season.
Quarterbacks that they will ultimately end up facing that you look at and go like, oh, they're not bad. They come later in the season.
They're all so later in the year.
So that's when your defense is like really clicking. It's really hitting on all
cylinders.
It's
Luke Falk. It's Josh Allen. It is Case Keenum, Daniel Jones. Maybe Sam Darnold, fresh off a mono. That's the next five games for the Patriots.
And then you got to roll the dice. And then I think it depends on...
Then you get some guys.
Well, then it depends on if you're a fan of them. Because I'm not really sold on Baker Mayfield or Lamar Jackson. And you get the Browns and then the Ravens.
I also think, though, when I'm talking about the Patriots defense, and I understand there's been some change in personnel, not really that much. I even go back to the Super Bowl, where they played a great offense and held them without a touchdown.
Right.
Followed it up with, you know, no touchdowns against Pittsburgh. I understand Miami stinks. You probably shouldn't give up a touchdown to them. And they might not give up a touchdown this week. But if they go four straight games without giving up a touchdown.
It's pretty impressive.
Ridiculous. Especially with all the rules favor the offenses. Every single rule favors the offense right now.
And they've been pretty good against like a very good quarterback in Patrick Mahomes. They just haven't been able to make those second half adjustments. Because when you
look at good in the first half. The fourth quarter, though, they gave up a point
every
time they touched it.
But when you look at the AFC Championship game, you look at their first half and into the third quarter, you're like, and even when they
That's sort of been a trend with Mahomes, I feel like.
Right.
Like the Mahomes and the Chiefs, so you can look at it either way. Like they make good halftime adjustments and they figure out defense in the second half, but he gets off to some slow starts.
Yeah, and you've seen that in both of their first two games, and then we talked about the AFC Championship game, so if the Patriots can, you know, if they can somehow put four quarters together against Kansas City, they usually do pretty good against them in the first half.
All right, let's get to the calls. Chris is up in Hudson, New Hampshire. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Good. How you doing?
We're doing great.
Good. Okay, well, I'm listening to this and I'm laughing because you know all of this is conjecture until the fourth game. But in any case, I missed you earlier when you were talking about AB coming to the Patriots. Two quick things, and one is a question I haven't heard anyone address. The first is just another person saying, okay, we still have a Constitution, this guy is innocent until proven guilty, blah, blah, blah. Okay, what if he's found guilty? I just have a question. If a construction worker is guilty of something like this, right, he gets out of jail, does he never again get to work? I'm just asking. He's not a kindergarten teacher. He's not a coach, a cop. He's a football player. Are they priests?
No. So what would happen? The right to work, yeah. And I have the right to not want to hire him.
But also, he would get punished. He would get at the very least suspended. He would probably get cut by the team. If not cut, he would have to serve out a suspension.
Right.
And then he would be allowed to play again, but there would be a punishment. Right. If he's found guilty, there, of course, would be a punishment.
Well, it would be the same thing for anybody else, like for a policeman, for a teacher. Because remember, Chris, this is a civil case, right? So even if he's found guilty of a civil case.
Yeah, he's not going to prison.
Yeah, he's not going to prison. All he has to do is pay whatever amount the judge decides that he owes this person.
Okay, but we seem to have already, or at least non-Patriots fans have already, hung him and he's been found guilty. Whatever.
Chris, I'm going to be honest with you. If he was playing for Oakland or Pittsburgh right now, Patriots fans would be saying the same thing about him.
Yeah, I don't think it matters where he's playing. I think when you look at this situation, no matter who the guy is, it's always gonna be that scarlet letter on their chest.
Yeah, there's a group of people out there that are convinced he did it. There's also a group of people that are convinced that he didn't do it.
Has more to do on which team you root for.
Correct.
But I don't even think that. I think it's just, when you talk about...
Yes, of course that's it, Wiggy.
No, I think when you talk about rape and sexual misconduct, that just sticks with you no matter what.
No, that part is right. But the point that I'm not speaking for every Patriots fan because not everybody can agree on everything, but most Patriots fans think that Tyreek Hill is 100% guilty.
Absolutely.
And shouldn't be playing, and Antonio Brown is fine, and this
innocent
lady's
until
lying.
Proven guilty.
Right.
I mean,
that's
it depends on who you're rooting for. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith. Wiggy's in the house as well. Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.